Leela Shuk, Bilba Mangal Thakur, was an ordinary human being. Yet, he developed many ecstatic symptoms in his body. What then is so astonishing about these symptoms being manifest in the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? In the ecstatic mood of conjugal love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the highest platform. Therefore, all the exuberant ecstasies were naturally visible in his body. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Leela Shuk is Bilba Mangal Thakur Goswami. He was a South Indian, a Brahmin, and his former name was Shilhan Mishra. When he was a householder, he became attracted to a prostitute named Chintamani, but eventually he took her advice and became renounced. Thus, he wrote a book called Shanti Shataka, and later, by the mercy of Lord Krishna and the Vaishnavas, he became a great devotee. Thus he became famous as Bilba Mangal Thakur Goswami. On that elevated platform, he wrote a book named Krishna Kanamrita, which is very famous amongst Vaishnavas. Since he exhibited so many ecstatic symptoms, people used to call him Leela Shuka. Okay, so just to put this in context, this is Krishnadas Kaviraj, of course, speaking about Lord Chaitanya. Actually, in this second chapter, it's descriptions of Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies in love of God. So he's really just making a case here. One might say, well, how's that possible? How could someone exhibit those kinds of symptoms, which are more fully described, in fact, in the Antya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita? And just to counter that objection, he's saying that this a great devotee, Bilba Mangal Thakur, he also exhibited many ecstatic symptoms, and I think that was he's quite well known at the time. So, you know, this was something which people would understand. So this was his, if you like, defense against the argument, against the objection. So I'm not really going to speak much about that, Bilba Mangal Thakur. I'm going to speak more about Chaitanya Charitamrita and what it means to us. And here we are, sort of we've woken up in Kali Yuga. Suddenly we've come to our senses and realized that we're not this body. We're supposed to be achieving something far, far greater than sense gratification. And, you know, we find ourselves in this hellish place at this hellish time. But we have this incredible treasure that's been handed to us, which is unbelievable, that has never been available before. And it's been, here you are, the Acharyas have given us this wonderful gift of the Shastras, of the Gita, of the Bhagavatam, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita is a great mine of jewels, of wonderful, a wonderful treasure house of jewels. And here in this second chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj is giving us a glimpse of what is actually to come. He's sort of just cracking open the door of the treasure house, so have a look. And because he's aware that he's very old, he's in his 90s as he compiles the CC, and he knows that he could die at any time. In fact, he says as much. So he doesn't want us to be denied this amazing treasure, which is Lord Chaitanya's mood, his exhibition of Mahabhava, the highest exhibition of pure love of God. So he's giving us a taster in this chapter, right at the beginning. In fact, he's also a little bit prior to this in the Adi Lila, but here especially, he's giving us a glimpse of the treasure house. In the Antya Lila, he kicks down the door and just, duff, here it is. You know, the whole thing is like revealed in all its splendor for those who can comprehend it, which I certainly can't. But here we're seeing something. And because the last 12 years of Lord Chaitanya's life, where did he spend them? Do you know? Jagannath Puri. And he stayed specifically, in the temple, Gambira, the room called the Gambira. Gambira means grave. I can't quite connect that. He wasn't very grave at the time. He was in the mood of separation, of Srimati Radharani. And he was exhibiting the same madness that she showed, which is revealed in the Bhagavatam, in the Brahmara Gita, which is the song of the bee. And so in the madness of separation, Srimati Radharani spoke so many things. And Lord Chaitanya directly showed that. He, exactly the same mood he displayed in those final 12 years of his life. You know, he would be, he was considered that. I mean, mundane scholars who examine Lord Chaitanya's life say he was a great reformer, and he was a great philosopher, and a great mystic. But at the end of his life, he went completely insane. He just, something overpowered him. And that's true, but the unmada, the insanity that he was displaying is not of this world. It's something entirely different. And so he would speak many verses from a few scriptures, which some of you may know. Which were they? He was always reciting verses from Krishna Kanamrita, which was written by Bilva Mangal Thakur, from Jagannath Vallabha Nataka, which was written by Ramananda Roy, and from Gita Govinda, which is Krishna Das Kaviraj. So he would speak these verses, and there were two devotees who were constantly with him, who would assist him in that, in those last years of his life, and who would, reciprocate in that mood of love. Who were those two devotees? Those Swarup, yeah, Swarup Damodar, and Ramananda Roy. Yeah, they were his two most intimate associates. So this is what we're getting here in chapter 2 of the of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is from the I put up here. I'm going to read now from the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Srila Prabhupada speaks a little bit about Lord Chaitanya, because we have to understand who he is, and his divine identity, and his mood, and what he's trying to show us. So let's read this. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not belong to the mundane... You can read with me if you like, I don't mind. You know, it's all hearing and chanting. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not belong to the mundane plane of the three qualitative modes. He belongs to the transcendental plane beyond the reach of imperfect sense perception of a living being. Even the most erudite mundane scholar cannot approach the transcendental plane unless he submits himself to transcendental sound, with a receptive mood, for in that mood only can one realize the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What will be described herein, therefore, has nothing to do with the experimental thoughts created speculative habits of inert mind. So how can we understand Lord Chaitanya? So, yeah, thank you. So if we hear in a receptive mood, which means in a faithful, not unchallenging, yeah. So as it's said here, unless he submits himself to transcendental sound, how do we submit ourselves to transcendental sound? Coming to classes and hearing. Yep. Anything else? Try to understand and actually implement what we've understood. Very good. Yes. Anything else? Chant the holy name. Of course, that's transcendental sound. Okay, that's really nice. You're saying unpack, submit. What does that mean? It means that I depend on it, you said, right? That, I recognize that it's something superior to me that I need to take shelter of. Yeah. What else have I got here? So, yeah. I wanted to read something from the Bhagavatam, which is specifically on this point. Because where I'm going with this is, I started by speaking a little bit about Lord Chaitanya and his ecstatic mood, his unmad, his madness in the last 12 years of his life. But that's way up there. That's, the postgraduate study of Krishna consciousness. So we have to go through the steps to get there so that it's going to make any kind of sense to us. And we're not going to fall into certain traps, which I'll talk about as well in a little while, in reading these literatures, because they're there, and of course we can read them, but there's traps that we can fall into. We can, become unfortunately waylaid if we're not careful. So what I'm trying to do is to explore, first of all, this whole idea, this concept of submitting to transcendental sound. So there's a really nice purport, and I've got just a little bit of it here, which is in the Bhagavatam, which speaks about this process of hearing. So let's read that. The word Nivishta means that Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. So this is really giving us some idea. So let's just explore this a little bit. So no one can give rapt attention who's not pure in mind. So what does that mean? To be pure in mind. Pure thoughts. Think only of Krishna. Yeah. Anything else? Pure in mind. How many of you here would say you're pure in mind? You're pure in mind? Two hands are up there. Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah. No hidden motives, no agenda, stay positive all the time. Yep. Right. So no desires for calm or for material enjoyment, liberation, mystic powers. That kind of thing. Name, fame, adoration. I don't want. No envy. Don't envy anyone. Right. Really good points. Yeah, so this is pure in mind. But it says here, no one can be pure in mind who's not pure in action. So that comes first. So what's pure in action mean? Okay, so he's saying, unless you're pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating, you can't be pure in mind. Right. Very good. Yes, thank you. But what does it mean to be pure in action? To be free from the attachment to the results. Very good. Yes. Were you going to say that? Yeah. So acting only for Krishna's pleasure, never acting for our own personal gain. That's really good. Yes, I agree. And how about eating, sleeping, fearing and mating? So how do we exhibit purity in those areas? Pure in eating. Prashadam. No. And enough to keep body and soul together. Yes, we're all doing that, of course. we're all eating prasadam. But no sneaky chocolate bars and, you know, boga here and there and kami sandwiches when you're on Sankirtan. Well, I mean, maybe sometimes you've got no choice. But and eating, sleeping, pure in sleeping. What does that mean? Huh? 5 or 6 hours? Any of you do that? 7. Pardon me? 5. 5 hours. Okay, that's tough. That's good if you can do that. That's very good. And Mataji had a hand up. Sorry. Right. Balance. Not eating too much or sleeping too much. Yep. What were you saying? Okay, so regulated according to Shastra conjunction. So understanding what Shastra says in respect of eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. Prabhu? And I'll sleep for every hour. Yeah, yeah. Sure, yeah. I remember as a brahmachari, we'd attempt to sleep 5 hours or you know, 6 at the most. And thus you'd have this ability that you could fall asleep in an instant anyway, to sit on the train to go somewhere, you know, and in like 3 seconds, you're asleep. And the worst thing was when you're driving, you know, that it would fall asleep, you know. So Prabhupada was very pragmatic, yeah. I remember when I was driving back from Sankirtan, all of a sudden, I blang, blang in the car. What's happening? I woke up, I was in the middle of a roundabout, right? On this grass, you know. So yeah, you've got to be practical. I don't think you've got to, you know, don't do it artificially and then you end up, you know, doing something crazy. Sorry, Mataji. Gudakesha, Arjun, he'd conquered sleep. Yeah. Right. Work towards that. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. Yeah. So to sleep so that you remain fit for service, and it may be for some people it's more or less, but not in sleeping because you like sleeping and indulging in it. You know, just have a crash out now. Yeah. And have a lay in because it's Sunday and get up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. So that's a really good one, yeah. Because we all have different metabolisms, and some people struggle with sleep, insomnia, and all sorts. Yeah, sorry, Prabhu. Yeah. Yeah. Right, yeah. So that's another thing you're saying, that we remain Krishna conscious even in when we're sleeping. Like Prabhupada was like that too, right? Yeah. So I'm just going to move on a bit. Thank you very much. Because what we're exploring here is submit to transcendental sound, so that we can understand Lord Chaitanya, which of course we all want to do. So this is something we've got to, you know, all these areas of our life have to be in alignment with Shastra, as Ram Lakshman Prabhu was saying, and that means pure. And the other thing it says here is one should hear with rapt attention from the real person. So what does Prabhupada mean by the real person? Self-realized soul, learned in Vedanta. So he knows his relationship with Krishna. He's on the Swarup Siddhi platform. And he's so self-realized. Yeah. I do actually have something here. We can read this. One should take shelter of a pure devotee who has nothing to do with this material world, but is simply engaged in devotional service. By serving him only, one can transcend the qualitative material condition. In this verse, it is recommended, Yogeshvara Upasana, that one serve the lotus feet of the topmost yogi or the devotee. To serve the topmost devotee means to hear from him about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, yeah, this is confirming really what you said, that by real person, it seems Prabhupada means the topmost devotee, someone who is completely engaged in Krishna's service on the transcendental platform. And interestingly here, it says to serve that devotee means to hear from him. So this is the main service, actually, that we should be rendering to our authorities, to Srila Prabhupada. This is something, in fact, I think you once did a research, and you can please me the most by, and then you saw hearing, reading my books, right? The thing that came up the most was by reading my books. Prabhupada really wanted us to hear. Obviously, because he went to such an immense endeavor to write his books. So, you know, he wants people to read them. He wants us to, you know, read and understand. And I think sometimes in the hustle and bustle of life, we forget that actually hearing is service. And it's the first service. It's the primary service. Here's a really nice verse from the second canto. Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, purify the polluted aim of life, known as material enjoyment, and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead. So, I've got something from the purport here as well. The highest perfectional thinking for human society is suggested here by Shukadev Goswami, namely, sufficiently hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. For men in this age of Kali, when they have lost the perfect vision of life, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the torchlight by which to see the real path. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada has commented on the Kathamritam mentioned in this verse and has indicated Srimad Bhagavatam to be the nectarian message of the personality of Godhead. By sufficient hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, the polluted aim of life, namely lording it over matter, will subside, and the people in general, in all parts of the world, will be able to live a peaceful life of knowledge and bliss. So he qualifies the, we have to hear, and hearing is the means by which we will actually become freed of material attachment, material desire. So, but he says, by sufficient hearing. So what does that mean? What is sufficient hearing? Is it come to the class in the morning and then go about all your business? What does he mean by, you know, because we want to get this result right. So what is sufficient hearing? Prabhu? Hearing in order to understand and assimilate what you're hearing? No. Say again? And retain it. Yes, that's very good. Thank you. Mataji? Understanding and applying it in your life. That's very good, Prabhu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So every day. And each, yeah, that's sufficient. So no, every single day we make sure we hear the Bhagavatam. That's good, yeah. Okay, so that's good. So you're saying, because I was going to ask that question, how do we know if we're hearing sufficiently? But you're saying that it's different for different people, that some people are more, you know, in the mode of goodness, and they may not need quite as much of the medicine. And some of us in the mode of ignorance need very large doses of it. And we can understand if we're getting enough because we'll feel contented, peaceful, and yeah. Understanding. Prabhu? Oh, yeah, okay. So you're saying that hearing can be done in the three modes of nature. And you said that hearing every day on a regular basis is in the mode of goodness. And then hearing occasionally, you go to the Bhagavat Shaptaha, the seven-day recital, mode of passion, and hearing now and again, or hardly ever, is, okay, is a mode of ignorance. Prabhu? Yeah. Yes, yes, you're saying there's a verse in the Bhagavad, I think it's Tasmat Bharata Sabhatma, the Bhagavanishvara. So you should constantly hear. You shouldn't waste any time at all. If hearing bestows this great benefit on us, why just, you know, say, okay, well, 1 hour or 2 hours, that's it. That's my dose for the day, or even half an hour. But all the time, rather than doing other things like going on the internet and, you know, reading papers or something, you know, whatever. Try and hear. Yeah. I really like that. Yeah, yeah. Because you can do that now. It's with the technology. You can put on Prabhupada lectures and on all sorts. Vishwambhapur, sorry. Yeah. Right. Oh, you see. I can see, yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. 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 So you're saying, you know, like we're all different, but if you can make it your priority. Like you're saying, you've got some spare time rather than, you know, making phone calls or, you know, scrolling Facebook. You've got an opportunity to read, and the more you do it, the more you want to, and you can become addicted to it. And someone who's doing that all the time isn't necessarily in the mode of ignorance, you know, because they need to read more, but because they want to, because they really enjoy it and they've got a taste. I'll take one or two more, then I'm going to quickly move on. Nataji? So you should be learning, making it. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. 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 Right, so you're saying the main thing is, are you progressing, moving forward? So it may be different for different people, you need more or less, but the main thing is, are you going forward? That's nice. Sorry, but... Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Both things. So you're saying, you know, we are not at this point capable of actually hearing continually. like Jayak Pujas to Nityadhar. We're not at that point where we can constantly hear. So we need some other engagement. Prabhupada, you said, would give like 20-minute classes, you know, especially in the later years. Although in the beginning he gave very long classes. But later, when he was less able, he gave short ones, yeah. But he also engaged people in service. So both things you're saying are required until we, yeah, and so we develop the Vasudeva Katara Ruchi, actually start getting a taste. Right. Right, so hearing should lead to serving. Yeah. Hearing is a saver, yeah. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Bhaktanandaki. Yeah, thank you. I just want to move to the next part, because I've got another part of this purport here. And by the constant hearing of the messages of Bhagavad Gita and later of Srimad Bhagavatam, one is assured herein by Srila Shukadeva Goswami that he will reach the personality of Godhead and render him transcendental loving service in the spiritual planet of the name Goloka Vrindavan, which resembles a huge lotus flower, thus by the process of bhakti yoga directly accepted, as suggested in this verse, by sufficient hearing of the transcendental message of the Lord. The material contamination is directly eliminated without one's attempting to contemplate the impersonal Virat conception of the Lord. And by practicing bhakti yoga, if the performer is not purified from the material contamination, he must be a pseudo-devotee. For such an imposter, there is no remedy for being freed from material entanglement. That's a scary one there. What does it mean to be a pseudo-devotee? We don't want to be that, obviously. So what exactly is he talking about? Did someone say? Carry on. So he's saying you have to have the right aim, the sadhya, that why are you doing your devotional service, your hearing, your chanting? It's not because you want to be known as a great learned pandit or, you know, advanced devotee or something, but actually you want to achieve the goal of prema. You want to reach Krishna. Right. So you may have a polluted heart. So anartas are there, but you're aware of the goal. You're aware of the process, the sadhana, and the sadhya. So you're doing the right sadhana with the right sadhya. Just to let you know, time-wise, he told me to go till 9:15. So if anyone needs to leave at any point, no problem at all. We're going to stop at 9:15, I think. 9:23 is the breakfast. Yeah, that's probably why he said it. So you can't rush out and eat. Yeah, so anyone else on this point? What point's he making, Prabhu? Right. So you give an example of Lord Brahma, who recited the whole Srimad Bhagavatam three times before engaging in the creation. All the Vedas as well. He's, yeah. 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 Okay. That's nice. But what we're trying to understand, he's made a point here. If the performer is not purified from the material contamination, he must be a pseudo-devotee. Mataji? Right. So don't be a pretender type of thing. You know, present yourself as being something you're not. Just be honest and, you know, humble and, you know, trying to make progress without, you know, these artificial aspirations, like trying to be known as a great devotee type of thing. Right. That's a nice point. Prabhupada himself exhibited that mood of humility, yeah. Right. Right, right. Okay. Right. Right. Okay. So yeah, you're saying you're giving the etymology of the word pseudo, which means you're putting on a false show. You're one thing externally, another thing internally. Yeah. Sincere in your aim. Because reflecting what my wife was saying, that you're aiming for the right thing, for Krishna, to please him. Yeah. Yeah, the Mataji, and then we'll come to you. Mataji? Yeah. Right. So you're saying many of us may be in this category of pseudo-devotee because we have so many material desires, but it's not necessarily a bad thing because we're becoming purified, we're trying to become purified. We're coming every day and going through the process, chanting. Yeah. 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 Sure. Sorry? Okay, so you're saying there may be ulterior motive that you're not even aware of, that, you know, when you're practicing. That's a good point. Prabhu? Okay. Okay. So you're saying that, you know, we must be real, and if we're not, like he's saying, if we're not getting purified, and you're saying, therefore, that is indicated by our desires in terms of, like, if we're still attracted to asatsanga and that kind of thing, then we're still, like, in this category of pseudo-devotee. And if you're pretending you're not, even though you're secretly, you know, doing crazy things, and then you're presenting yourself as a big pundit or something. No remedy. Yeah. So you're in trouble. Yeah. Yeah. Pretentious, false, yeah, yeah. Incense, yeah. All right. That's a good point. Yeah. Did you have something? Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Right. That's a good point. So all of these instructions are meant for our own, to judge ourselves, not others. Yeah. Yes, of course. So you're saying that we do need to, like Prabhupada gave us criteria for recognizing Uttama, Madhyama and Kanishtha Adhikaris, so that we can distinguish between who is and who isn't. And we should therefore not associate, for example, with materialistic devotees. He says that in Shastra, right? That we offer them respect from a distance, but we don't mix with them very closely. So we have to make that much discrimination. Is that what you mean? Be what, sorry? A blind follower, right. Okay. Right. Okay. I'll take one more and I'm going to have to... Say again? What would be a sign of our progress that we're becoming purified? Yeah. So what would you say? You lose interest, yeah. 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 That we're becoming detached from material enjoyment. That's the saying. You're saying that that's a sign of... Yeah, I think that's definitely a sign, yeah. And what comes on the other side of that is attachment to Krishna. So if we're actually detached from material enjoyment, Yeah. We've become more attracted to hearing about Krishna. Exactly. That's the sign of progress. Not artificial renunciation, you know, teeth gritting, you know. Right. Yeah. Very difficult. This is, go ahead. Yeah. You should carry on with remorse, even though you're not able to. Right. That's really nice, yeah. Yeah. Okay, not become discouraged and, yeah. This is one more nice little part of the introduction to the CC, which is kind of wrapping up what we're talking about. The subject matter of this book is not a mental concoction, but a factual spiritual experience that one can realize only by accepting the line of disciplic succession described above. Any deviation from that line will bewilder the reader's understanding of the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a transcendental literature meant for the postgraduate study of one who has realized all the Vedic literatures, such as the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra, and their natural commentaries, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. So he can see, he's making that point, that to, you know, actually understand Chaitanya Charitamrita, one has to first of all understand Gita and Bhagavatam. It's a major challenge. Just the Gita, start with that. And it says, only by accepting the line of disciplic succession. So how do we accept that line of disciplic succession? Right. So he's saying it's about hearing from the authorities and trying to assimilate and understand and not use it as a launch pad for our own purposes, whatever it may be, they may be, yeah. 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 Not to speculate, yeah. That's a very good point, yeah, to hear and really try to understand and not apply our own fertile brain coming up with different ideas. Yeah. Did you want to say that? Jagat Priya had a hand up. Yeah. Okay. So you're saying one must accept a guru, which is in, who is in the line of disciplic succession, and that's important. Yeah, I like that. I just wanted to say one thing about that, which is, of course, accepting the guru is required, and it's a regulative principle. But just taking initiation from a guru, and then job done. You know, right? I've got my, you know. I've got the badge, but obviously, as my wife was saying, there has to be ongoing hearing from that person, and, you know, serving. So That's also, because otherwise one's still considered fallen, even if he's accepted Diksha. I think Jayanti wanted it. No, go ahead. So you're saying it seems contradictory, because in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita there's the brief biography of Lord Chaitanya, which I think was Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote that, right? Without his mercy, without logic, you can't understand the Bhagavad Gita. But here he's saying that until you've understood Bhagavatam and the Gita Bhagavatam and the Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutra, you can't understand the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So how do we reconcile that, as your question? And he actually completed the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but the Bhagavatam he never quite finished. So how would you answer that?
I don't know.
Figured it out. I think it's a good question. I mean, maybe it's, you know, we need to spend more time discussing it, but teachings of Lord Chaitanya, yeah. That's true. The 10th canto, yeah. But he doesn't specifically refer to the Chaitanya Charitamrita in that biography. He talks about the life of Lord Chaitanya. And I think that's what we need to first of all study, that section that he wrote there in the beginning, like a preface, just to give us something, some conception, you know. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita is much more than that. This is going really into the, you know, the topmost levels of Mahabhava and, you know, Lord Chaitanya's exhibitions of pure love, which those, I think, we're not going to be able to comprehend at all until we've really understood the, you know, the Bhagavatam at the very least, you know. Yes. Yes, the later pastimes especially, yeah. We need that, yeah. Otherwise we just won't get it, you know. So we'll come then, yeah. Yeah. So a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, a person that we can associate with, a pure devotee. That's how we get the Lord's mercy. Lord Chaitanya's mercy, yes. Yes, I completely agree. So I think we've reached the end. It's 20 past nine. I think you guys are getting hungry. You've got 3 minutes to wait. So thank you very much for your attention. Jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.